Beyond Athletic, episode 51.
Right? No, their strength coach isn't going to make sure that you're getting up at 6 in the morning to be in the weight room. Like, that's on you now. You're the one that's getting paid to play.
You might be smarter. Your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode. Today's a game plan session with Carolina Blanco. She is working as the executive director of Sports International Group. Fantastic conversation that we have, because there, what they do is they handle, amongst others, WNBA players and other basketball athletes playing internationally. So we got to talk a lot, but a little background on Carolina. She's been part of SIG since 2003. Before this agency, she was the director of women's basketball at the University of Pittsburgh, where she also was a liaison between the athletic department and the women's basketball program. She was a media intern also for the Washington Mystics WNBA team, and she holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a minor in communication. So definitely someone with a lot of experience, great wealth of knowledge, and really fun to talk to. So enjoy this episode. If you like it, share it out, beyondathletic.com/51. Enjoy. Today's guest is going to be talking about basically the transition from college to pro. It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. I just want to throw that out there for people listening. You could be playing, you know, whatever it is. You could be doing judo. You could be doing anything. But this is about adjusting to the transition from amateur to pro. And Carolina Blanco has been working in the industry as an agent for many years. She's going to introduce herself here. But I want, right before you do, just to give people a pulse on like who you are, kind of like what you believe in. Could you share your quotes or whatever you have posted with me, belief, mantra, things like that, and then just kind of give a brief background and why people should take what you're going to say into consideration?
Yeah, so one of my quotes that I like to use all the time is really just something that I've kind of found a few years ago, and it's just something that I always like to revert to, and it's kind of like the way you see people is the way you treat them, and the way you treat them is what you become. And I think as you transition in life and just in anything, it's all about how you treat people with respect. And athletes tend to live a life where they're traveling, they're meeting a lot of new people. You're dealing with a lot of different people, cultures, coaches, philosophies. But I think the one thing to always remember is that at the end of the day, before you're an athlete, you're a human being, and it's just to treat the person with respect. And kind of be open-minded to the new experience, the new coach, the new teammates, and just, you know, try to learn and grow, because no matter what, there's always an opportunity to learn and grow no matter where you are or who you're working with, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it's so true. And then a little bit of background on you.
Yeah, so I've been working with Sports International Group, which is a sports agency, for the past 13, we're going on 14 years now. I directly work with the female basketball players that we represent, but we also in the agency represent men's football and men's basketball, which I kind of oversee, but directly involved with the women and have been for the past 13, 14 years. I started out, you know, very, very young. When I graduated from college, I was director of women's basketball operations for the University of Pittsburgh. So I was very fortunate because that was also a position that was given to me as a, like, straight out of college. And the person that had my job previously was in his 30s, and I was 22. So I've kind of been in this environment like half my life, basically. So very fortunate to be able to work with a gifted group of people.
I mean, the experience you bring in that realm is great, because I know that ever since I started my agency, I learned so much, and I got to attribute a lot of that to actually the very patient partner that I had when I started the business. And he basically taught me how to be a lot more diplomatic, because I could tell after he would point it out that I was a little abrasive sometimes when I would write emails, et cetera, et cetera. And the way he helped me kind of flip my mindset into how I should speak to teams really actually helped me in my professional career when I started negotiating my own contracts after that. And then evidently I picked up an agent, because you can't be the agent for your own career for very long if you really want to go far. So those are some of the things I think that we might be able to talk about. But yeah. I want to get started with something that's most important. And I think that time management, like you, is one of the areas that athletes fumble with. And in college, you know, you're having everything done for you. Everything is set up. You have a schedule for, you know, your lessons. You have a schedule for training. You have things that usually don't change, right? And then when you transition to pro, everything is in your hands. The only thing that's done is the scheduling by the team for different practices, matches, things like that. But even that can change. So what are some of the things, the thoughts that you have on time management and that transition from college to pro?
I think it's important to have a plan. And I think what happens is players tend to get comfortable and they think that, oh, you know, I'll have like maybe a month before if you're going overseas to get back in shape. And really, if this is going to be a profession, it just, you can't have that mentality. It has to be an everyday thing. It's basically a way of life for you. This is your job full time. And that means that eating right, sleeping the right amount of hours, having a training session that works for you based on how you are, right? Maybe you're not a morning person. Maybe you do better in the evening. So you have to adjust your schedule, your workout for that to prepare you for what's coming. It's all about preparation. So I think it's very, very important to have a plan and have the right people in place that can help you. Because one thing you do when you don't have that's schedule when you transition, because you're kind of all on your own, but you still have the resources from college that you can kind of pull from, right? You can probably still reference your strength coach that can help you. They could probably set you up with someone that can help you with nutrition. So you do have some assistance that you can go to, but it's kind of up to you to put it in place, right? Their strength coach isn't going to make sure that you're getting up at 6 a.m. to be in the weight room. Like, that's on you now. You're the one that's getting paid to play. So it has to come from you. And you can't just expect that you're going to be an elite athlete doing it a month before you're supposed to go overseas. No, you're not going to be ready, because there's been someone else who was working out hard for 3 months, practicing 2-a-days. And that shows. A coach knows. A coach knows, your teammates know, and eventually your agent's going to know that you didn't put in the work. And that's only going to affect you for your next job in that season, in that current job that you have. You're going to be playing catch up.
Yeah. And before I even address those things, because, I mean, you said a ton of things there. There's a wealth of info there. And I just want to come back to some of the things, dissect them a little bit before we move on. But you spoke about how your teammates are going to know, your coach is going to know, your team, like the people who own your team, manage the team, et cetera, they're going to know. Fans are going to know, because sometimes you have the preseason matches. I've even had fans of teams watching us work out in like preseason. You're going to know, and then your agent is going to know. And here's the thing. I think that instead of setting yourself in the situation where you think you're fooling someone because you have not taken the steps to, like you said, Carolina, prepare and have a plan and start implementing that plan actually before you go abroad. Because if you do that, you set up the skills that you need there. Because I'm telling you, when you get abroad, everything's going to slap you in the face, and it's just going to, it's like If you've ever been surfing, or let's say you've ever been swimming in the open ocean and you've ever gotten hit by a wave, I mean, it's you lose your bearings, you know, you have no idea where you are for a few seconds. And so that's kind of like what it is when you come abroad. I mean, I'm sitting here in the middle of Berlin. I'm answering the door, and I have to use my limited German to tell the people trying to deliver packages, like, hey, the people that work here aren't here and I can't handle it. I can't even open the door. So I'm talking to them through the door, and you have to manage how you interact with people. And so learning languages, things like that is going to come up, but don't try and fool yourself. Set up this plan. And when we make this plan, Carolina, you're talking about nutrition, recovery, workouts, all these types of things that you need to do. And that I would say, if I were going to highlight three main things that you said that you need to have, skills you need to have, you need to be able to prepare well, you need to be able to adjust well, and you need to have coaches or people surrounding you. So let's hit those different things. Like, how can we prepare well? Like, if we're going to go general, like, kind of breeze over this because we have tons of other episodes about nutrition and recovery and all this, but how would you say to an athlete right now, senior season, start preparing your plan for nutrition, recovery, working out, all this kind of stuff on your own, no matter what happens with teams?
I would have a meeting with either my assistant coaches, my current ones, and my strength coach, and tell them, like, listen, this is my game plan. Obviously, when we're in season, I'm going to focus on where I am here right now, right? Because no coach wants to hear that you're already, you know, it's January and you're thinking about where you're going to be in August. No, you have to be present. But I do think it's important to have a conversation, lay out, listen, this is my game plan. This is where I hope to go. And so if you go in and you say that, that's not only going to show your staff that, you know, that you're serious and planning, but they're going to be able to prepare you and kind of write something out that will take you where you need to go. And then once you've done that, and you've gone through your season and you're graduated, then you have another meeting, right? I told one player this year, I said something to her, she finished, and then she was still working out with her team. I told her, I said, listen, it's great that you're still working out with your college team, but you shouldn't be doing the same things that you were doing in college. You need to be pushed a little harder because now you're trying to transition to a pro athlete. So yes, keep working out with your team. That's great for maintaining shape. But you need to have a different game plan now because your mentality has to change. Now, this isn't college. You're training for pro. So yeah, there is kind of like a switch, right? You should be pushed harder. Things should be tweaked a little bit. And so I think having a conversation with the staff before, you know, the season and then after when you're graduated is kind of pinnacle to creating a plan.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking right now just in case people are joining us or kind of just like jumping in at this point of the conversation about time management and that being one of the biggest mistakes or weaker areas of the transition from college to pro, and specifically preparing your plan. So contacting your coaches that you already have, the network, like tapping into the people you already know. And this could be, like Carolina said, your college coaches. This could be, if you have some strength coach outside of college, it could be them. If your family has a nutritionist, et cetera, et cetera. You know, how do I adjust to life abroad? I might be going to countries A through Z. You know, how do I have a meal plan, for instance, that can adapt to these different places, like a basic meal plan, so I have something to fall back on? And so when you talk about adjustment, though, how do you mean adjusting to different things, and what types of things should they be looking to adjust to?
Adjustment's big. Adjustment isn't just about adjusting to your new surroundings. Adjustment is also adjusting the way that you think and see things. Because, you know, when you're playing, you're being put in these situations, regardless of whether you're United States or abroad, but especially when you're abroad, you're being put in these situations that are probably going to make you really uncomfortable that you might not be used to. Not just on the court or in practice, but just everyday life. You're in a foreign country, in a foreign land. You might not know the language. You might not know anything about the culture. Adjusting is really just being able to kind of adapt and take what's given to you and try to make the most out of it. I think that if you're able to adjust and adapt, you're able to have a better experience and just overall make the situation better for yourself, right? I think players that have a hard time transitioning are the ones that are very rigid. No, it should be this way. It should be that way. It has to be some some room for flexibility and movement there. Because nothing that we ever plan ever always works out the way that we want it to. Nothing. So you really have to just kind of, you know, be comfortable with that idea and just in some ways go with the flow and kind of, you know, see, figure it out basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a big thing. So I know personally when I came abroad and my first time, it actually was to Germany. It was in Leipzig, a city a couple hours south of Berlin. And I really just kind of immersed myself in the culture. I remember a lot of people ask me now, why can I even speak German? And I always say, well, it's funny, I never spoke German until I left Germany. The reason being is that I was really shy when I came over. And I said to myself, okay, I need to get out of the States. I need to pursue volleyball at a higher level. I want to work on certain aspects of myself that I feel are inside, but I just can't let them out for some reason, or they're not coming out in this environment. And if I get this fresh start, here's what I want to do with it, right? So I made a plan for like my personal life in terms of me. How do I build RJO up, you know, to the person that I would like to be? And I said, okay, to my buddies, listen, you guys speak German whenever you feel like speaking German. You know, if you're having a conversation, just go into it. Don't feel like you have to translate. And as I asked, like, hey, well, what are you guys talking about or whatever? And I could just stay in my little wallflower zone, you know, pay attention to people. Ask questions when I needed to learn something. And I started absorbing. So I would say one of the biggest ways to adjust is don't stay away from the foreigners. Get yourself into your teammates' like networks. Ask them like, hey, where are you going out? Let's go hang out and have coffee. If what holidays do you have here that are like family orientated? How can I get around more, you know, Germans or wherever you are so that I can learn what you guys do? Because I think it's really interesting. If you show that interest, people will pull you into their world and you will click so much quicker, not only with your team, but in adjusting with these places. Do you not agree?
Yeah. And I think it'll help you understand where you are, right? If you understand just what they go through every day on a daily basis, right? What you guys like to eat, where you hang out. The holidays, like you said, just kind of learn and try to immerse yourself, because it's only going to give you a better understanding of where you are. And it's going to help you grow as a person and relate to who your teammates are, because it's in basketball, it's a team sport. So that's going to help you guys relate better on the court and understand each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned something about commitment. So when you're talking about, you know, if you're a rigid person, if it's hard for you to learn something new or be around new things, you have to say before you go pro, if really you want to take it to this next level, right? You have to commit to that. And you have to say, okay, maybe I'm not as flexible as I would like to be, but here we go. Here's a new start, tabula rasa. Let me go there. And here are the ways that I'm going to try and be flexible first. And I'm going to commit to it for a certain amount of time, which should be the amount of time you sign your contract for. We both know it doesn't always happen, but those rare cases where it doesn't, I've always seen that it's just one of those things where the player gives up way too early. And that's going to reflect poorly on you and on others. And actually, before we even go any further on that, let's just talk a little bit about that commitment that you make to go play pro. When you sign contracts, what does that mean? How does that reflect on you in good light or bad light, depending on what you do?
I mean, when you sign a pro contract, that is basically an agreement that you have with an organization. Look at it as your employer, right? So you are committed to them. And that means that they expect you to arrive on time. They expect you to be ready to play. And sometimes that means right when you get off from the plane. So, you know, you could have not slept very well, whatever the case may be, but they want you to get off that flight, go through sometimes the physical and sometimes even attend practice, not maybe play, but they want you to attend. So, I mean, you're going to work right when you get there. And so there's, and sometimes these are planned way in advance. You could sign in April and you're not arriving to September. I mean, they're planning for you and expecting you to get there. So, it's not to be taken lightly, because as you say, let's say, oh yeah, you know what? I signed, but I really don't feel like going, or I want to, can I have a few extra days? That only reflects poorly on you. and your level of commitment. And maybe they give it to you. Maybe they say, you know what? Okay, fine. We'll give you a few extra days. But next time they're going to think about that when, if they want to sign you for next season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's kind of a problem.
And I'm going to take away that from you real quick, just to carry a little bit further and say that, you know, when you do make these commitments, it's not even a question of, you know, I'm in this other place. This doesn't matter as much as it does back home. This matters because if, for instance, you're someone who's trying to take your career to a new level, you might be trying to get to your national team. You might be trying to get to these pro leagues, et cetera, et cetera. Like NBA, you have basketball all around the world. Volleyball, unfortunately, we don't have it in America. So it's really hard for it to reflect poorly if we're poor characters abroad in the States, whether or only in case it's like other players or coaches who might be abroad. But that's the point. Everyone talks to everyone. The world is very small in terms of athletes, and especially in your specific sport. And so whatever you're going to do, if you're going to change on anything that you've committed to verbally, so keeping your word is a huge thing, but especially that you sign and you commit to, you are, trust me, burning bridges before you even start. And like Carolina said, you can literally get off planes and have to A, play matches, train or travel to somewhere, and you're expected to be already an image of that team. So whatever you do will reflect on that team. So if you're smoking, I don't care if everybody else is smoking, but let's say you're smoking. It could be a bad thing because now you're smoking and you are the foreign player who came from abroad to play with them. And even though your whole team smokes and your whole team drinks, you should not be doing it in public because what? It reflects on the team poorly.
Social media has really, this is where social media comes into play. And we look at everything. I mean, even me as a, you know, working in this office, like I will look at all my players as much as most of them, not all of them, but I do look at their social media. What are they posting? Their videos, their Snapchats, their pictures, their this and their that. And I pay attention and I can pretty much tell who's gonna make it and who's not, just based on what I see and what you're showing me, because it's a reflection of you, right? So like you just said, if you're out, you know, I'm not saying you can't be social, but if you're out, you know, like you said, smoking or doing this and that, I mean, that's not taking care of your body. You're supposed to be an elite athlete, and that reflects poorly. And I said, this is a lifestyle, not just as much as it is a career. This is a big part of who you are, is taking care of yourself. And we look at everything. Just as I look at everything, the teams look at everything too. I mean, the second someone gets injured, even here in the United States, or they find out about something, that team is sending us a message. What's going on with the player? We heard this. We saw that. Is everything okay? Da, da, da. I mean, it's nonstop.
Instant. It's wild how quickly that stuff spreads to you. And before we hit a couple more things, because I really want to talk about how to surround yourself with more people to get that edge that you're talking about, to start training early, to start your road to what I call foundational health, which is getting these four pillars of health, which is emotional, psychological, social, and physical, getting them all up to as close to 100% as you can. And it's going to take a team of people to do that. But before we talk about that, and then hopefully a little bit about the dedication and discipline part, I do want to just say that if anyone out there is looking for a good way to learn more about transitioning, we, Carolina and I, did an athlete blab. It was a 2-day seminar where we talked about a ton of things. And this is one of the topics that we had. So in the show notes, the blog post for this, I will be posting that. Carolina, I know you will for your followers, but also there's a person that we both work with, Susan Salzbrenner, and she has a book, Play Abroad 101. And that is kind of like every athlete, it should be their initial Bible to really learn how to go abroad and do that. And it's super cheap. I don't even know what it is, but honestly, it's like buying a drink. So
yeah, it's a handbook basically.
Buy that book. Yeah. It is a guy, yeah, a handbook. It's incredible. So let's move on to coaches. How do players, because I think that so often, and when I say coaches, I also want to just say kind of like mentors. You can pay for mentors, but they're more in the coach realm because you're paying them. You should be finding mentors like Carolina, like myself, and reaching out to them, hopefully
connecting with them and providing value to them so they can provide value to you. But coaches, who can we be putting in our lives as players, Carlina, that can amplify our chances of success in these different areas that we've been talking about? And how can we find them?
Well, you can find them because you've probably had them throughout your whole life. I mean, I think it's just a matter of paying attention to maybe who you relate to the best. Maybe it's your college coach. Maybe it's one of your assistants. Maybe it's your strength coach. Maybe it's someone that you've met while training, maybe with a partner. Hey, I really like how your relationship with this coach is. Do you mind if I reach out to them? I mean, I have players that still work with their strength coach from college. Even though they might have changed, they still try to connect with them and touch base and kind of use them as a resource. If you don't have anybody, just ask your teammates, hey, who do you work with on this and that? I really like to improve this area, whether it's my training or my nutrition or my mental game. So just the resources are there around you. You just have to kind of find them and look for them. But yeah, you can, even your agent. I mean, like in our office, you just not have my boss. You have two other people here, three other people here that have been in this business for several years that can act as kind of a guide and just to talk to. So I've told several players, I'm like, listen, don't wait till a situation gets like awful for you to reach out to me. Just shoot me a message before and just like, hey, I'm feeling this way. This is kind of making me feel uncomfortable. Because nine times out of 10, I've probably already been through this with another player. So yeah, just look around you. And reach out and ask questions. I mean, if you're playing with like an elite player, like let's say your teammate is Candace Parker, for example, I guarantee you that Candace Parker will be able to tell you who she's worked with and what's worked for her. Mm-hmm. So ask her, and I'm sure she would be more than happy. Actually, I have had players that have reached out to me to communicate with her, especially yeah. I have players that have children, and said, I want to talk to her to see how she was able to bounce back or manage having a kid and playing professionally. And when I reached out to her and I said, listen, so-and-so wants to talk to you. Yeah, great. Send him my number. So, you know, people are more than willing to help if you're willing to ask.
Exactly. And this is exactly what it takes. It just takes you asking. Because one of the things that I've noticed is ever since I started the podcast and I was able to get some of the best people in certain fields, like for instance, Kelly Starrett came on. He's one of the best mobility coaches out there. We've had a ton of others like Ben Greenfield. We've had, you know, so many people like Stacy Sims, who's a fellow at Stanford, one of the leading hydration and thermoregulation specialists in the world. And the only reason why I got these people on the show is because I just asked. I was like, hey, I'm trying to help educate athletes. Would you like to come on this show?
Totally. I mean, what's the worst thing that you could hear is no. I mean, that's exactly what I always tell people. Like, so the worst thing you hear is a no. That's fine. I mean, more than likely, you probably won't, especially if you're talking to your teammate or someone that you know when you reach out. I would say like 9 times out of 10, someone is going to help you and provide you with the contact information, especially if it's about bettering yourself, right? Yeah. You're trying to take yourself to another place. You're trying to make yourself a better athlete, a better person. I think most people are willing to help in that situation. I know I am. I mean, I know if anyone asks me a question, like, yeah, like, let me look at my resources. Let me see who I know that can assist you.
And so just to recap, I mean, you look into your personal circle, you look into your agent's circle, and you're not afraid to ask people who you think might be untouchables. I think leveraging like these platforms like social media, like we talked about. Carolina, by the way, I do love you. And I was thinking of this earlier. I love that you put on your Facebook, I'm pretty sure it's on your Facebook, like, you see what I want you to see. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I love that because I think all athletes need to learn how to leverage the privacy settings on social media. Please. If you're sharing all this stuff, you need to know like, hey, this stuff is going to all these friends that I want to see this. And then this is going to the rest of the public who I want to see this. And that is huge. But if you reach out to people, really try it. You're going to get no's, but this is part of your growth. And this is kind of how I've gotten to where I am today, which is being much more comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's how we have to grow, right? We have to be uncomfortable. So reach out to some people in your circle for athletes that don't have a circle like that. And I know there's a lot, especially the young athletes I work with in the Balkans in Brazil and also in Asia, they don't have that circle. Reach out to people that you expect to know from and just expect to know and see what happens. Just ask them, you know, I really admire what you're doing. I've been looking for some way to do this. Who are the couple people you would recommend in this area that could help me? And so moving on, I just want to wrap up with just another way to help athletes transition, right? So if we're going to talk about, and you could take this and spin it however you want, add something to it, Carolina, but discipline and dedication, just to wrap up these last 5 minutes, what does that mean to an athlete transition?
Discipline to me means, you know, implementing your plan and sticking to it. And that means making some sort of sacrifice, the discipline to, you know, if you have a workout at 7 a.m, that you're up at 6 preparing out the door by 6:30 to arrive on time and ready to work out, or arrive a little earlier, stretch and do it and stick to that plan that you made. It's the discipline to be able to say, if a friend invites you out and you have a workout plan that day, hey, listen, I have a workout that day. I can't make it at this time. Can we meet up, you know, later after my workout? That takes discipline to say that. It's, you're out to eat and you're at a restaurant. It's maybe picking something on the menu that is healthy in nutrition, because you, again, are taking care of your body. The discipline to say, you know what, I can't eat that, not because I don't want to, but because I can't and I shouldn't. Or listen, I can't have a drink today because tomorrow I have a game and I don't drink before game days. Like, those little things make a difference. So I think it's, again, the discipline to implement your plan and stick to it, no matter what, and not steer away from that plan that you have for yourself. That to me is discipline. And I've seen it. I've been impressed by some players that, you know, they're up at, like, by the time I've gotten out of bed, they've already had their first workout. Mm-hmm. And I get out of bed at 8. So they've already been to the gym or, you know, done their first workout already and they're resting. Mm-hmm. That's discipline and dedication. That's what it takes. It's not just doing the minimum, right? Showing up. It's going above and beyond and really making it like a lifestyle. This is your lifestyle. This is your life. You eat and breathe, you know, trying to be the best.
I love that. And just to throw a little in there, it's so funny because my friends hosted an event recently and I found out about these things called Roux bars. They're amazing. And so I've always been trying to, like, I've been telling myself, Ryan, you need to snack more when you're doing these podcasts, because if you don't snack, then you're going to end up overeating when you want to eat later. And you're trying to, like, stick on this. I have this, like, whole regimen that I'm trying to stick with, because come September 1st, there's some goals that I want to hit, and I'm not going to hit them if I don't stay, you know, disciplined with whatever I'm doing. So,
yeah, I mean, these little things really add up. I don't think players really think about how much all this makes a difference, but it does. I mean, it's proven that what you put in your body affects your mood during the day. It quite possibly does affect your sleep. A lot of players have issues.
It does sleeping. So much.
And I think a lot of players have issues sleeping probably because they're not really taking care of the other things that will help them kind of relax and shut down and go to bed. It's vital. Like, I know me, like, I need 8-9 hours of sleep. And if I don't get it, I'm pretty, you know, grouchy. So I can't imagine the schedule that these players take. They're always on the run. To be disciplined and dedicated is a factor in longevity.
Well, I mean, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all this. I mean, to wrap up just this podcast session, I would love to hear just your little ending, you know, hey, this is what it comes down to. Here are the bare essentials to touch on everything to transition well. Write this down and stick to it, kind of deal.
I think the main thing is, again, to plan. Have a plan. If you know that this is something that you want to do, don't be afraid to speak to your present coaches if you're in college and say, listen, this is where I'm headed, and I want you to kind of help guide me to take me there. So talk to them, implement a plan, and then have the discipline to carry that plan out and know that taking care of all those little things will help carry you, and they do make a difference. And then when you get to be a pro and you sign that deal, that plan may need some adjustment, but keep it in place, have a discipline, and be open-minded once you arrive to the experience wherever you are, right? Don't come in with this mentality that, oh, you know, like this coach doesn't know what he's talking about. Like this drill is dumb. I don't like it. Like, no, you can't think like that. You might think it is, but for them it's not. And you are now being paid to play, and your job is to do what they tell you to do. And that's what you're being paid to do. Mm-hmm. So, take it as a learning experience, and maybe as a cultural exchange. You have something to learn from each other. You can teach your team can teach you something, and that's going to make the experience, better.
Mm. And just to let people know, because I know I will have spoken about this in the intro, but just your playing history, so people understand that you have played your sport.
I played my sport, but I didn't play pro. I basically played all the way. I was a practice player and a manager at Duquesne University. I did play when I was in Venezuela. I did play at the, I forgot, I didn't make it to the national team, but I played like underneath. Mm-hmm. And mainly that was just because in Venezuela, basketball is not as developed as it is here when I was young. So when I came for college, I had the opportunity to walk on at UMBC, but I turned it down to attend Duquesne University. So I practiced and played with them like as a manager probably my last 2 years. And I never really had any desires after that to continue to play or even try. I mean, I was just kind of like, okay, this is where it ends for me. But I've been surrounded by elite athletes basically my entire professional career. So I've been to practices, training sessions. I've been to the games. I've talked to them. I know the things that they're doing to make this a career, not just an experience, but really make it a 10, 12 year career where when they're done, you know, they basically can enjoy the fruits of their labor, right? They have a house, they have a solid financial stability. They can just kind of enjoy life and make up for all the sacrifices that they made, because it's tough. It's tough. You miss Christmas, you miss holidays, you miss a lot, but you gain a lot too.
I always bring on athletes, right? Pro athletes, currently pro Olympians, et cetera, maybe formerly Olympians. And that's one perspective. And I think that in order to understand life and where we want to be and how we can get there, we always need to gain different perspectives. And so Carolina is bringing in this perspective of someone who literally is dealing with both sides and able to see them both from further away, because you're not in it the whole time. You're managing these things that are going on, right? So it's easier for you to say, wow, okay, here are the personal things I know about this athlete. Here are the things I'm hearing from the team. Here are the things that I'm seeing with my eyes. And really, it gives you such a better position to advise and help these athletes on their path. So I thank you so much for your time. And I know here at the end, I'm just going to ask you like really quick some questions. But for being on the show, Carolina, thank you so much. And I hope you can come on one more time for something else special, because I know I want to do some more with basketball athletes.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
There you have it. Another episode of Beyond Athletic. Make sure you share this out. Anyone, basketball players, volleyball players, athletes in any sport. BeyondAthletic.com/51, and be sure to leave a rating and review on iTunes if you're listening there. That will help actually get the ranking up, because the more people that are talking about it, no matter the rating or the review, other people are going to find it. And if it's something that I need to work on, please, please, by all means, make sure you put that in there. Thanks so much, and until next time.
So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box. telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops on the day that I got arrested.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.